We thank you that anointing is in our midst and we yield to it now. We choose to receive it now. And we thank you for that anointing instructing us and teaching us in the realm of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Would everyone say this out loud? Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
I grant you permission
to challenge my thinking,
change my life, impart into my life,
move me to higher ground.
In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be here for a good portion of this evening. We're going to teach on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And as I said in some of my preliminaries, we've got one session. I've got a whole series. I will be the first to tell you, obviously, I don't know everything about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I am continuing to press in and learn myself. But what I will do is I will pass along to you what I do know. Martha grew up Methodist. I grew up Presbyterian. Both of us came from backgrounds where we really weren't accustomed to the things of the Spirit concerning the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so we came a long way, and I can understand people that have a hesitancy. And there's really three types of Christians with regards to this. And you may just want to make a note of this, or some of you have actually lived through this. Number one, there's a group of Christians that do not believe the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for today. They will present to you various arguments and so forth, and they really believe that it's not for today. Then there's a second group, and this is actually a growing group because a lot of people are leaving that camp. I think they realize they can't just cut portions out of the Word of God like that. There's another group that believes in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but they do not actively participate in them. And there's a lot of good Christians, really, in all of these camps. But the second group, they'll believe in them. And it's interesting that in our day and time, that there are a lot of mainline churches, Baptist, Methodist churches, Episcopal churches, the Roman Catholic Church, where they're having these alternative services. I don't know if you've heard about that. And they're having more contemporary services where they will sing worship songs like we do, and you might even find them raising their hands. And they're really moving more towards the things of the Spirit, but they'll stop just shy of actually entering into the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So I really think there's a new move in the land. I think we're in store for another major wave, an influx of people into the realm of the Spirit like this. The third group, of course, are those who not only believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but they have pressed in and are experiencing and growing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, obviously, I'm in that camp. I believe the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for today. Not only do I believe that, I believe that we can participate in the things of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, as you run into different Christians, you'll run into those three types of scenarios, and you've got to somehow approach them appropriately and share your testimony and the things of God accordingly. That's a good background of what's out there. Now, as we start into this, I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to do in the next hour what Jason Peebles can't do, and that is to change your life and move you into a greater participation of it. If you're open to learning something new tonight, raise your hand. All right, let's begin in verse 1. And remember, this is still part of our series on dependency on God. You say, well, why would you teach on the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Because I am not sufficient in myself to meet the needs of people. Therefore, I need the charismas, I need the gifts of the Spirit to come through me. I am dependent on God's ability to reach out and help people. All right, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You ought to underline that right there, because there's a lot of people that would like for you to stay ignorant about it. But notice in verse 1 that the word gifts is in italics, indicating it's not there. Really, the way that verse would read is this. Now concerning spirituals, the Greek word there is pneumatikos. That is from the Greek word pneuma, where we get spirit. Really, an accurate translation of that would be this. Now concerning the things of the Spirit. Or you could read it this way, now concerning the supernatural, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So Paul admits there is a supernatural realm of the things of the Spirit that we need to know about. And he says, I don't want you to be ignorant of these. Verse 2, you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Now, there's a little pun here. You may not see it at first, but y'all don't underline the phrase dumb idols, because dumb idols, they do not speak. They just sit there and look at you. He's about to teach us that our God, through the Holy Spirit, is not a dumb idol. God, our God speaks to us. How many of you want God to speak to you? Well, one of the main channels that God will speak to you is through this avenue of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. How will He speak? He'll speak through tongues. He'll speak through the interpretation of those tongues. And He will speak through prophetic utterances. So this is a main avenue through which God wants to communicate to His people. Verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God. So you'd underline that. There's a way that you speak by the Spirit. Do you see that? No man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. Now, folks, that's just rule number one. Let's go to school here. If anybody comes up to you and says, I don't believe Jesus is really God, and I don't believe Jesus is really Lord, or if they go beyond that and say Jesus is accursed, or the Greek there is anathema, then you can pretty well just mark that up. That person's not speaking from God. Amen? I mean, that's just basic stuff right there. Now, you know, that sounds strange to us, but you have to realize everywhere the Apostle Paul went, he had a group of people, the Judaizers, who were following him, going around trying to discredit the message that Jesus was the Messiah. So they would come in there and say, thus says God, Jesus is not the Messiah. So Paul is saying, anybody that says that, they are not from God. That's rule number one. And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So when someone really sincerely claims Jesus Christ to be their Lord, then guess what? They are a believer. Amen. Now, I want you to circle verses 4, 5, and 6, because verses 4, 5, and 6 are extremely important to our study. Notice verse 4 talks about gifts. Everybody say gifts. Verse 5, and it depends on the translation you have, talks about not gifts, but administrations, or some may say ministries. And verse 6 talks about operations. Operations. Notice, go back to verse 4. What are the gifts connected to? The Spirit. Everybody say the Spirit. Notice in verse 5, the administrations or the ministries are not connected necessarily to the Spirit, but to the Lord. Everybody say the Lord. And the next verse, verse 6, the operations come from the same God, and He's really indicating there God the Father. So in these three verses, we see the Trinity. We see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, obviously, they are one. They are three personalities in one, but they have different abilities and manifestations that they come to us in. Now, let's look at verse 4 again. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, in your note-taking, I want you to write this term down, because the word gifts there comes from a Greek term that is charisma. C-H-A-R-I-S-M-A. Charisma. So he's saying there, now there are diversities of charismas, but the same pneuma, the same Spirit. Everybody say, the charismas. Say it out loud, the charismas come from the Spirit. Now notice that that word charisma is from the same root word that we covered the other night, C-H-A-R-I-S, charis, which is grace. How many of you need more grace in your life? Well, guess what? The gifts of the Holy Spirit are nothing but the grace endowments of God, God's ability and enabling power coming in us and through us to help humanity. Now, I know that people would not say this. They haven't thought through this, but I'm just going to say it to show you how ridiculous it is. For you to say, or for someone to say, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not for today, they are saying God's grace is not for today. They are saying God's grace is not for today. Because these gifts are nothing more than God's graces, God's grace endowments of His abilities. No one would dare say the fruit of the Spirit is not for today. What is the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is character. The gifts of the Spirit is ability. That's very important for you to know. The fruit of the Spirit brings me what? The character of God, and we need that. But folks, we need not only the character of Jesus or the Spirit, we need the ability of God. It's not either or, it's both and. How many of you want to be like God in every way? I want to be, number one, like God in His character. And number two, I would like to participate in God's ability. So He says here, there are diversities, different kinds of charismas, but the same Spirit. Now, verse 5. And there are differences of administrations or ministries, but the same who?
Lord.
Now, let me give you the Greek word there for administrations. It's diakonia, where we get the word deacon. It's D-I-A-K-O-N-I-A. D-I-A-K-O-N-I-A. Jesus brings us the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Now, we'll not take time to turn there, but write this in your notes. Go to Ephesians 4 sometime and read verse 11. It says, when Jesus ascended on high, He gave gifts unto the men, and He gave some what? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That's just the beginning of the list. There's also people that are called in the office of deacon, or leaders in the church. There are church workers. These are gifts that Jesus oversees. The Holy Spirit is involved in the manifestations of the charismas. Jesus is over the ministry offices in the church. And now look at this next one. This is very interesting. The Father, when He says God, Theos, He's referring God the Father, verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now let me give you the Greek word there for operations. It's energema. E-N-E-R-G-E-M-A. Where we get the word energy. E-N-E-R-G-E-M-A. So we could read it this way. There are diversities of energies, but it is the same God the Father who worketh all in all. Well, what's He talking about there by operations? How many of you know that the same gift or the same pastoral ministry can operate entirely different between two people? And we just happen to have, tonight, we've got two pastors sitting here on the front row. Here's Pastor John and Pastor Bill of Harvest Fire Christian Fellowship. Now, they both are participating in the office of pastor. But I dare say that there's a diversity of operation. You know why? Because of their temperament and personality. Did you know that when you were born, God the Father, in the womb of your mother, formed and fashioned you, and you have a personality and a temperament, you have an energy, an energema, or an operation that is unique to you. Unique to you. Now, this gets us in trouble because we have favorite energemas. And you'll see this all the time. Somebody says, you know, I wish you were like Benny Hinn. Well, honey, my name's Jason Peebles. Jason Hinn doesn't even sound right. I love Benny Hinn. I love his ministry. What an anointed ministry he has. And we can learn and we can model from others. But I've got to be who I am. You have to be who you are. The problem is we have favorite personality types. And so, I like Oral Roberts. I like the way Oral Roberts presents. I like his style. I relate to that. You might not. The problem is when we start cutting some energema down that we don't like. And the Lord kind of showed me this. Anybody ever heard of Ernest Angley?
Yeah.
Evangelist Ernest Angley. He's a little different, you know.
Yeah.
And so I was flipping across the TV and I was getting ready to go to my meeting. And Ernest Angley was on there and he's got this ministry. I think it's out of Ohio if I remember right. And he comes on and he talks a little different. And he has it in the vision. I see it in the vision. Now, you know, you can look at that on TV and you can begin to judge a person like that and say, well, I don't like the twang in his voice, or I don't like the way he does his hair, or I don't like the way he says this or that. And find yourself standing in a place of judgment of one of God's people that He's placed in the body of Christ. That doesn't mean that you have to, you know, buy his tapes and go to all of his meetings, but you should bless him and say, thank you, Lord, there's Ernest Angley. Thank you, Lord, there's Benny Hinn. Thank you, Lord, there's Charles Stanley. Thank you, Lord, there's Billy Graham. I mean, Billy Graham, he is anointed, but he does not have a style, say, like Oral Roberts. Billy Graham just stands there behind the podium, and he gives his lecture, and he's got this stadium just overflowing with people. And you're just kind of sitting there listening, and all of a sudden he says, come forward, and all of a sudden thousands of people come. You say, well, anybody could do that. You try it. First of all, you wouldn't have a stadium full of anybody, which means nobody would come. But there's an anointing there. And so the problem is, you know, we're flipping across the TV in our culture. There's a lot of this on TV or on radio, or you go to a meeting and we turn off because we're judging the operation instead of looking through all of that and appreciating what God has done. And that's why I'm for the Baptist, I'm for the Methodist, I'm for the Charismatics, I'm for the Christians in the Roman Catholic Church. There are good Christian people in every flavor of denomination. And we've got to realize that. The Lord is not limited by church walls. Thank you very much. Now, notice verse 4, 5, and 6. As I said, we see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. However, in verse 7, he shifts his focus back now to the things of not the Son. You'll find that in Ephesians 4. Where do you find out about the operations or the energumas? You'll find that in Romans 12, what are commonly called the motivational gifts. But notice in verse 7, but the manifestation of who? Somebody help me preach. Verse 7, but the manifestation of, does it say the Lord? No. It's not God the Father. Now we're turning our focus back to the charismas, and the rest of this chapter basically is not talking about the ministry offices. It's not talking about the operations or the motivational gifts or personality types. There's different ways to describe that. He's now talking about the charismas, the grace, miraculous endowments of the Spirit of God. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to hurt other people. Is that what yours says?
No.
I'm sorry. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to confuse everyone. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, say it, to profit all. Now, I want you to get this. This is so simple. You say, why say it? But to hear some folks, they think the gifts of the Holy Spirit are a problem. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are not a problem. They're the problem. They need to get their attitude right about the things of God and quit trying to hedge and cut out some aspect of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to verse 7, circling in your Bible, will profit you. They will profit others. May I amplify that? They will benefit you. They will help you. They will bless you. They will promote your life and help others. These are positive endowments that the Lord gives us so that we can participate in the abilities of God. Now, I want to spend a little time on the word manifestation, because in understanding the word manifestation, this will totally free you to move forward in the gifts of the Spirit. How many of you, regardless of whatever area you have arrived at in your spiritual growth, how many of you want to advance in the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Then you must understand manifestation. I want to give you the definition for manifestation, and please write this in your notes. Because in verse 7 it says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. The word manifestation means this: the showing forth, the expression, or the release. That's what the word manifestation means. In other words, when I finally say, you know, now I understand that, it's now manifest to me what that meant. That means I have suddenly, I understand it. Suddenly my mind has caught up with it. It's there. If you were to drive by a home that was completely dark and suddenly they flip the lights on, it would be very proper to say the light is now manifesting from inside the home. Are you hearing me? Now, why is this so important? Because there are some folks that would have us believe that we've got to wait for it to come down on me. And there was an old doctrine of tarrying. And there's nothing wrong with tarrying at the altar or waiting at the altar seeking God. We believe in that. But to think that somehow we're here as Christians and the Holy Spirit is way over yonder and we're begging Him for some prophecy, we're begging Him for a tongue or an interpretation, we're, oh, please send it to us, is the wrong thought. According to verse 7, it's a manifestation. Now, did you hear what Martha said in some of her comments? And she's got the teaching and preaching gift in her. Yes, you do. I was standing back there going, go, girl, go, girl, go. But Martha said, every Christian has the Holy Spirit. You must know that. Every Christian, whatever denominational flavor, they have the Holy Spirit. In fact, you can't be saved without the Holy Spirit. It plainly teaches us in the Word of God that when we believe in Christ, whether it's at a Billy Graham crusade or reading your Gideon Bible or at your Methodist church or in your hotel room, the moment that you believed in Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit came and took up residence in you and sealed you unto the day of redemption. That's what a Christian is all about. Now you've got the light in you. Amen. Everybody say, I have
God's Spirit
in me.
Woo,
hallelujah. We're getting closer now. He's not way over yonder. Where is he?
In me.
Well, let me just ask you this. If the Holy Spirit's in you, does it stand to reason that everything the Holy Spirit has is in you?
Yes.
Ah. You mean to tell me that prophecy's in me just waiting to manifest? That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Do you mean to say that the word of knowledge is in me, but it's just waiting to manifest? That's exactly what we're saying. And so believers that stand in front of me saying, I don't believe, therefore today, I just really have to chuckle because I say, well, do you have the Holy Spirit? They'll fight you over that. Yes, I have the Holy Spirit. The moment I accepted Jesus, I have the Holy Spirit. And then I'll say, well, don't you believe that you have all the things of the Holy Spirit? And they can really get it when you start talking about the fruit. I say, well, do you have the fruit of the Spirit? Well, yes, but I don't always yield to it. You mean you've got love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all those things in you? Yes, but I don't always yield to it. I said, well, you're getting closer. Because the same fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit are in you, but you don't always yield to it. And so it becomes an issue of manifestation, showing forth the release, turn the lights on in the house.
Amen.
What house? Your body is a house. And the Holy Spirit now lives in you, and we're going to turn the light on. How many of you want to turn the light on?
Yes.
Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now go to verse 8, 9, and 10. Verses 8, 9, and 10 gives us the list of the manifestations or the charismas, or as most of our versions say, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now let's just read through these, and then I'm going to give them to you in a little different order, because I think that when I give you this organizational system that I've learned, it will help you participate in them more. Verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. So you may just want to mark these as we go through. That's one of the gifts, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Notice all this is from the Spirit. To another, faith, or I think it's fair to call it the gift of faith, because faith is also listed in the fruit of the Spirit, by the way, in Galatians 5.
Yes.
But here he says to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing. And notice that's plural. So it's not just the gift of healing, there's gifts, plural, of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. And if you're in the business world, you really need that one, so you don't get hooked up with the wrong kind of folks. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man individually, please mark this, as he will. As he will. So the Holy Spirit has a will in this. Now, you know, as I've studied this, I have heard people just preach verse 11 to death. They just preach verse 11 like this. Well, the Holy Spirit may want you to have it, and the Holy Spirit may not want you to have it. Everybody say there's two sides
to every coin.
Now hold your finger there, and I don't want to get too far ahead, but go to chapter 14, verse 1. We just got through seeing there the Holy Spirit has a will, and certainly He does. The Holy Spirit has a will, and He will manifest at times according to His will. That's only one side of the coin, though. Chapter 14, verse 1. It says, follow after love. Here's the other side. Circle it. And what?
Desire.
Everybody say desire.
Desire.
Everybody say desire.
Desire.
And desire spiritual gifts, especially, or rather, that you may prophesy. Now, look at that. Verse 1 there says that not only does the Holy Spirit have a will, what is my part in the gifts of the Spirit? It's to do what? To desire them. How many of you want to be obedient Christians? Well, look at verse 1. According to verse 1, the Bible says that you must follow after love, which is the character side, and desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, folks, there's desire and there's desire. Hello, are you there? Your employer comes up to you and says, I desire for you to restock the shelf. And I'd like for that to become your desire. Well, there's not a lot of desire in you about that. But if I take you down here to the mall with a credit card and say, have at it, desire is there. So don't look at me and say, Brother Jason, I don't know what you mean about desire. Just turn you loose. You know these women know about desire. Down at the mall, hallelujah. They stand in front of that window and they start praying in the Spirit and it comes out, charge it, charge it, charge it. Visa, MasterCard. And have you ever noticed how they'll come home and they'll say, I got a little something. And it was on sale. And the guy's sitting there going, forget the sale talk. How much did it cost? Well, I want you to see it first. Do you like it? Well, honey, how much did it cost? It was on sale. Okay, it was on sale. How much did we spend? Well, it was only $80. $80! Honey, why didn't you tell the devil to get behind you? She said, I did, but he told me it looked good from back there as well. And then you keep the dress. Amen. Men know something about desire. I was riding with a pastor. This is the truth over in Charlotte, North Carolina. We were going down the road, I don't know, 40, 50, normal speed down this road. And I'm thinking we're just, you know, going out to eat or whatever. All of a sudden, you would have thought a person ran out on the road. I mean, he hits the brakes. I'm going forward. My seat belt harness goes, wham, catches. I'm like, oh. And I'm like, what happened? And he said, did you see that bass boat back there? I said, what? He put that thing in reverse, backed up, and pulled in there. And there's a big old bass boat with a for sale sign on it. Don't tell me you don't know about desire, folks. Now, I hope I've painted a little picture. Now go back and read verse 1. Can you understand what the Apostle Paul's saying? He's saying, follow after love and desire. Everybody say desire.
Desire.
Everybody say, I desire,
I desire
the things of God.
I desire
the things of God.
Amen.
Amen. You got to be like that guy, man. Put it in reverse and back up and go check those gifts out. Amen. So there are two sides. Yes, there will be times where the Holy Spirit desires to do something very specific with a friend that you're talking to, or in a prayer group situation, or as a minister in a church, like the other night, some of you were here, and I began to call certain ones out with words of knowledge. Do you remember that? And I was prophesying over people, ministering over people. Well, I had a desire when I came to the meeting to yield to that, but the Holy Spirit is the one that had His will on who I would minister to. And so you see how God's desire or will and our will has to work together. Isn't this true with regards to salvation? I mean, can you get saved without desiring salvation? Well, let me ask you this. Is it God's will for all people to be saved? Would God like all people to be saved? Well, Jesus has died for everyone, so is everyone saved? Well, then what's the problem? Two sides of one coin. God has a will, man has a will, and when the two meet, something wonderful happens. Something wonderful happens. Now, back up to chapter 12. Back up to chapter 12. What I'd like to do now is to give you an organizational system for the gifts of the Holy Spirit that will help you immensely. If you don't have a piece of paper, now would be a good time to ask your neighbor for one. And I just believe they'll be kind enough to tear one out and give it to you at a reasonable price. Amen. I'm going to give you an organizational system of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that will help you in your mind see the flow of these gifts. All right? Roman numeral number 1. I'm just going to give it to you like an outline. Roman numeral number 1 is what we would call the speaking gifts. The speaking gifts. And there are 3 speaking gifts that are in this list that we just read through. Number 1, there's tongues. And you can see readily why they would be called the speaking gifts. Number 1, there's tongues. Number 2, there's the interpretation of tongues. And number 3, there's prophecy. Now, do you see how that makes sense? I mean, don't get upset. Somebody, well, the speaking gifts. The phrase, the speaking gifts, isn't in the Bible. Well, folks, you know the phrase, the sinner's prayer is not in the Bible. Did you know the word rapture is not in the Bible? But these concepts are in the Bible. So I'm just trying to help you grow and get a system that you can flow with. So there's the speaking gifts. Tongues. Everybody say tongues.
Tongues.
Everybody say the interpretation of tongues.
Interpretation.
And prophecy.
Prophecy.
All right, Roman numeral number 2. The second main category. Roman numeral number 2. The revelation gifts. The revelation gifts. And there are 3 revelation gifts. Number 1, the word of knowledge. That does not mean that you have all knowledge, and that does not mean you've gone to school and got real smart. It means God gives you a piece of knowledge that you could not naturally know about a person or a situation. The world calls it intuition. You just knew. How'd you know? I don't know. It just came to me. That's called a word of knowledge. Number 2, there is the word of wisdom. That does not mean you're a very wise person and you can talk like Confucius or the Chinese little deal that you tore out of your, you know, cookie. What is the word of wisdom? A great way to get a hold of this, put a little parenthesis by that one. The word of wisdom means God's plan for the situation. When God gives you how to do it, that's the word of wisdom. You know, it's very frustrating to know what you're supposed to do and then not know how to do it. You know, God, it's one thing to say, yeah, I'm supposed to start a business. How many of you folks know it's one thing to start a business, another thing to know how to run it? And that's where God can give you the plan of action. So these things are not spooky. They're not meant to be spooky. They're meant to benefit and profit us. So there's the word of knowledge. There's the word of wisdom. And then there's the discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits. Now, this can be twofold. And again, I can't linger on any one of these because, you know, we're not teaching the whole series. But the discerning of spirits means that you have God's insight either into the supernatural realm of spirits or into the hearts of the spirits of people. It works both ways. There have been times where I have sensed demon presence in my meetings. And the Holy Spirit has alerted me to the possibility of something breaking out. And I go in there very guarded. And that, how do you know? I don't know. The Holy Spirit just communicates a discernment about the situation. It also works with people. And this is why I said you folks in business really ought to get hold of this. Because there are some people that can talk a good talk, but their heart isn't right and their intentions are not right. And if you will pray and ask the Holy Spirit to allow the manifestation of the discerning of spirit, before you hook up or sign on the dotted line, you'll be able to discern by the Spirit a red flag. I can't put my finger on it, honey, but something's not right. We're not going for it. It looks great, but we're not going to do it. How many of you wish you'd had that one somewhere back down the line? And some of you may have had that. All right, so Roman numeral number 3 now. Is this coming together for you? The speaking gifts, the revelation gifts, Roman numeral number 3, we would call the power gifts. The power gifts. And there are 3 of these. Number 1, the gift of faith. The gift of faith. Number 2, the working of miracles. The working of miracles. And number 3, gifts of healing. Now, you know, people make fun of this, say, well, you know, if you got the gift of healing, why don't you go empty all the hospitals? It's gifts of healing. People can actually have a gift for a certain area, but they're not very effectual in another area. How many of you ever heard of T.L. Osborne, the evangelist T.L. Osborne? He's getting up in years now. But T.L. Osborne had great mass crusades overseas. He and his wife did. And he began to notice that he had a routine, regular success, if you will, in praying for deaf people. I mean, he prayed for everybody. But deaf people would routinely, regularly have their ears popped open and be healed. He went and had whole deaf schools empty. There was no more school after they had that. But yet he'd come over here to a cripple or somebody like that that had a problem in that area, and some would get healed, but some wouldn't. You say, why? Well, there's not one person on this earth that has all of Jesus in them. That's why we need the body. I mean, we've got Jesus, but the full manifestation of Jesus is in Jesus.
Yeah.
That's why we need one another. And so you know what T.L. Osborne did? Well, it stands to reason. if you're going to have a crusade and you know that you can get deaf people healed rather quickly, who are you going to pray for first? He began to pray for deaf people first. Why? Because as they would come across and get healed, the faith of the crowd would go up, and then their faith would get their own healing, the gifts of faith, and it was no longer up to his gift. Things started happening, and then they'd win so many thousands and thousands to the Lord. And so there's gifts of healing. Now, do not miss what I'm about to say, because what I'm about to say is so, so vital to you flowing in this. In your notes, watch me now, look up here on my invisible chalkboard. I want you to, in a moment, draw an arrow from the speaking gifts pointing down to the revelation gifts, and from the revelation gifts pointing down to the power gifts. Here's the point. The speaking gifts will help you move toward the revelation gifts, and as you act on what is revealed, power gifts will go into operation. If you don't use the speaking gifts, you're not going to flow in the revelation gifts as much as you could otherwise. Now, let me give you a case in point. And I tell this story quite a bit. My wife and I, when we first started our ministry, we were approached by a young girl who wanted to have pre-marriage counseling. And her parents had okayed it, and so we thought it was just going to be standard stuff. We knew her. We knew the young man that she was about to marry. And everybody felt good about it in the whole community. They were both Christians. They were Spirit-filled believers. And so she came to us, and we said, okay, you know, can we help you? And she said, yeah, I'm really excited about the marriage, looking forward to it except one area, and I wonder if that would be a problem. And we said, well, you know, what is it? And Martha and I were there. Nobody else was in the room. And she says, well, the intimate side of marriage is something that I really don't want to have anything to do with. Do you think that could be a problem? Now, I was not prepared for that. I mean, you could throw just some old religious cliche out, you know. Well, praise God, honey. I mean, you know, it'll be all right. Hallelujah. Lord bless her in Jesus' name. Amen. That's not going to help anybody. What would you say? I'll tell you this. You could counsel somebody like that and take them through a therapy for years and never get to the root of the problem on that one. And I looked at Martha. What'd that look like? What do you want to say? You know, should I leave the room or what, you know? Martha looked back at me like, I don't have anything either. Now, how many of you know our minds don't know, but how many of you believe that God knew that situation? Do you believe that God knows every situation?
Yes.
See, that is the point, friends. If you think that you are sufficient to meet the world's needs, you need to back up and study humility. We need charisma. We need the grace of God flowing through us. And part of that are the abilities of God to meet needs. What do? We laid hands on her, and I have learned this over the years through others and observation, that if I will operate in the speaking gifts will jump me over to the revelation gifts. So we laid hands on her, and we began to pray in the Spirit, out loud, together, over her. We just began to use our prayer language and ask God to show us a manifestation to come. As we prayed in the Spirit, something bubbled up into my mind. At that point, I wasn't real sure it was God, because you can miss God. And we'll talk about that in a moment. That keeps a lot of people from even trying. But I had a mental picture that came up into my mind as we were praying over her. I saw a little girl locked in a closet, and her dress was messed up, and she was crying and whimpering. That's what came to my mind, a vision. That is one way a word of knowledge will come. God was giving me not all knowledge about this young lady, but a bit of information that was going to help her get a healing so she could move on in life. Why? God just loves people. God wants to profit people. God wants to help people. That's what it's all about. I said, and I'll not call her name, I said, so-and-so, I said, I think I have something from the Holy Spirit, and I'd like to present it to you for discernment and judgment. That's a very fair way to put it. And I said, I saw, and I described it, I said, I saw a little girl in a closet crying, and her dress was messed up. This really woman now, she begins to cry uncontrollably and start heaving. I'm talking about, I'm not trying to be ugly, just snot running out her nose crying, heaving. We had to just stop, go run and get some Kleenex. And it came out that when she was younger, her parents used to take her to the uncle's house for babysitting purposes, never suspecting that he was a child molester. and that he would molest sexually this little girl and lock her in the closet while they were, you know, running errands or doing whatever they did, and threaten her that if she ever told anybody, he would come and get her in the night and take her away and do harm to her. Well, this happened over and over again, so in her was built this ugly view of something that God meant to be wonderful. The gift of sex is something that God invented, not man. Go back and read the book of Genesis. When God looked on them, he said, everything is good. What man has done, man has distorted it. And so we took her through a prayer time and an inner healing time. Jesus came and met her there. She forgave. Curses were broken. She got set free. They got married. And I forgot how many kids. How many kids they have now? Five or six running around everywhere. I mean, they are a blessing. Jesus met that woman's need at her point supernaturally by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, I will tell you, I could tell you endless stories. I could keep you here until you'd fall asleep. Telling you about stories. One night I was over in Myrtle Beach and I was praying over people going up and down the line and I was just ministering, and I've learned that if I use the speaking gifts, look at your notes, do you see how a speaking gift took me to a revelation gift just then? Mm-hmm. And do you see how a revelation gift jumped over to a gift of healing? She got an inner healing in her life. Mm-hmm. Do you see the speaking gifts? Everyone say the speaking gifts.
The speaking gifts.
Help me get to the revelation gifts.
Help me get to the revelation gifts.
And that'll help me get to the power gifts. They are interconnected and they're meant to be a little three-step dance. Little one, two, three. Everybody say one, two, three. But if you don't do the one, you're not going to get to the two and the three. I'm going up and down this line praying for people. And you remember that old Wendy's commercial, the Where's the Beef Lady? There was the Where's the Beef Lady. I mean, she was just standing. It looked like Where's the Beef Lady. You know, she was standing there. Looked like she couldn't hurt anybody. I mean, this little sweet lady, you know, standing there. And I'm kind of like, ooh, Where's the Beef Lady? No, no. I'm coming down praying. You know, things run through your mind like that. And I go... And every time I'd come by her, and I'm praying in the Spirit now. Listen to me. I'm in the speaking gifts. And I'm asking God for the interpretation. I'm really pressing in. I'm doing my part. My part's to desire it. That doesn't mean that the Spirit will at that moment to manifest something, but I'm yielding to it. I'm coming to her. And every time I come by her, the word suicide runs through my mind. She looked like, where's the beef lady? I'm at that. Man, I'm really not really in tune tonight, you know. So I'm coming on down praying, you know, people, you know, I come back, suicide. And I go, I'm missing it, you know. And I'm coming back down, you know. And she just didn't look like suicide. She looked like a sweet old grandmother, you know. And so finally I'm standing there. Now the Bible says, prophesy according to your proportion of faith. You're going to discover that you're going to start into this very gradually. But as you build a track record, you're going to have more faith to step out. I didn't have faith, I will tell you this, at that moment to say, the Lord has shown me you're trying to commit suicide. My faith wasn't there. I'll just be honest with you. But you know, there's different ways to get in the house, and there's the back door. I laid hands on her and I said, I sense the Lord saying that the enemy has been telling you that your life is not worth living. Now, my faith was there. This, where's the beef lady? She begins to shake and quake and cry. Now, I'm not one of these evangelists. When I pray for you, I'm not going to twist your neck off. Have you ever met those guys? I mean, you really do need healing after they get through with you. You know, some guy, they push you over and like, yeah, you know. You know. Ushers, get behind them. Oh, okay, we got him, you know. I'm not like that. I'm just praying over people. I don't believe I have to, you know, you don't need to give me courtesy falls to make me feel better, okay? So I'm praying for her, and especially an older person, as I turned to leave, I just gave that word and I prayed that God would strengthen her and her life was worth living and something like that. As I turned to leave, I mean, this lady, she goes, whoom, and hit. And this was in a warehouse with concrete floors. She hit, oh, boom, boom, boom. And I'm like, oh my God, I killed the Where's the Beef Lady. I'm thinking, you know, dear gee, she didn't need to commit suicide. I killed her. I'm just sitting there thinking like, man, I'm not covered for this, you know. And, you know, I can see it now. Evangelist kills Where's the Beef Lady. Dave of Wendy sues. You know, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know. Well, you know what happened after that? You know what happened after that? This lady, after I found out, she didn't go to that church. She was from a Methodist church. Her daughter and son-in-law had brought her, and the story came out her husband, of one of those stories like, you know, married 50 years, had died some weeks prior. She was in the grieving process, was thinking that her life wasn't worth living. I mean, the enemy was all over her. She walked out there knowing that there's a God in heaven who loves her. And she got delivered from that spirit. And she walked out, and I mean, God, why does God do that? God loves people. How many of you want to help people? I'll tell you one more story, then we're going to move on. Move on in our teaching. Martha and I were at somewhere down in Florida, Panama City or Pensacola, somewhere years ago, and we were at the seafood restaurant. Now, I want to tell you something. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are not just for church folks.
Amen.
See, we tend to think you've got to kind of like get in the zone. You know, kind of get that real spiritual, spooky look. You know, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember what Jesus did at the well? The woman at the well? Jesus had a word of knowledge.
Yep.
He said, go call your husband.
Yeah.
And she's like, which one? You remember that?
Yeah,
I mean, Jesus just went right. He didn't have to act spooky. He did have to send the disciples off.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he'd send the disciples off. Sometimes the disciples get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever noticed some Christians get in the way? Get them out of the way, then Jesus can work, you know. And so Jesus goes right to the heart and ministers to her. Remember the woman at the well? But I was at one of those nights where it's like, I don't want to go minister to anybody. I don't want to have to talk to anybody. And I'd ordered exactly what I wanted. I wanted the seafood platter, the biggest one they had. And so they brought it. And as they brought it, this waitress walked up and she was like pouring water or something. And as I looked at her, the gift of the Holy Spirit popped off in me, and the Holy Spirit said, I have a word for her. I said, Lord, this is my night off. Now, I hate to admit that, but, you know. And I said, Lord, you know, this is my seafood night, you know. He said, no, I want you to minister to her. And the Lord began to tell me, through a word of knowledge, that she was in school, she was concerned that she couldn't pay her tuition, and that Jesus wanted her to know that her bill was going to be met, and for her not to drop out, that it was going to be okay. All this stuff started coming to me. Now, how do you do that in a restaurant? Do you jump up and throw your chair back and go, you right there! With a sweet tea, I'm talking to you! Folks, you don't have to get stupid with this stuff. And so I said, all right, Lord, I'll do it. I'm going to do it at the halfway point of my platter. Six shrimp over here. Six scallops over there. And I just took my sweet little time. And then the last little scallop, that's the halfway point. It's time to give the word. And I timed it just right that I needed tea. And I gave the waitress that little look. You know the tea look? And so she comes over, and I said, and it is hard to break into this with a total stranger. I said, excuse me, this may seem a little unusual to you. I said, but I feel like the Lord has given me a message for you. Pour. You stop pouring now, you know. And I began to talk to her about school and tuition and her payment. Her eyes got as big as... She said, how did you know that? And she starts talking. I don't know. And I was going to quit. I don't know. And I'm telling you what, the rest of that night, she knew Jesus was alive. And when I wanted something, tartar sauce. Honey, buckets full of tartar sauce. What can I do for you? Jesus does that because He loves people. And I'm telling you, you can be trained. I'm not afraid of the word. You can be trained. You can grow. You can develop. You can cultivate. I'm reaching for words. You can actually increase in this. You don't just have to hope that one day Jesus will give it to you. Manifestation. Everyone say manifestation.
Manifestation.
All right, now, go with me to chapter 14, quickly. Obviously, you've got the love chapter 13, and I think it's very important that chapter 13 is there, not just for general Bible doctrine. I mean, we're all aware of the preeminence of love, but right in the middle of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the chapter of love. Why? We should minister the gifts of the Spirit in a kind, loving way to people. These are not meant as tools to go around and manipulate people.
Right.
I'm not talking about catching your favorite friend or enemy in the parking lot and giving them a parking lot prophecy to manipulate them. And if you ever sense somebody giving so-called gifts or words of the Spirit that are heavy into condemnation, they are not operating in the Spirit of God. And I will tell you, this is what has caused a lot of confusion. is that God has entrusted His abilities to humans. And if those humans are not walking under His control and His influence, they can give Jesus a bad rap. Now, that's not just true about the gifts of the Spirit. There's a lot of Christians who don't even believe in the gifts of the Spirit who give Jesus a bad rap. So don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's not the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's the person who needs to grow up and develop love in their life. All right, chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Now, he says in verse 1, and by the way, we're just going to take about 10 more minutes in our instruction, then we're going to have a ministry time. And I would encourage you to consider getting the whole set. I just, you know, one session, you do as best you can. Verse 1. Follow after love and... Everybody say and. So it's not just character. There's character and ability. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts or the spirituals. It's the supernatural, the miraculous. But rather, the King James says rather, but it's better translated, especially that you may prophesy, because prophecy is one of the gifts. Verse 2. For he that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto who? Now, I want you to mark that in verse 2 because you need to understand that tongues is speaking to who?
God.
So when somebody comes up to you and says, well, I just believe, you know, tongues is a mumbo jumbo. Tongues is just a bunch of gibberish and people get psyched up and all that. All right, I have seen emotion attached to it, but according to the Bible, tongues is speaking unto God. So that's why we would call it a prayer language or a form of prayer. It is speaking unto God. All right, let's read the rest of verse 2. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now, I want you to underline the phrase in the Spirit, because now he's talking about tongues. He refers to it as in the Spirit. So it's very proper for me to say, I could say it three ways. Number one, I'm praying in tongues. Or I could say, I'm praying in the Spirit. Or I could say I'm praying in my heavenly language or tongue. There's different ways you can say it, and it's all proper. When I pray in tongues, I'm praying in the Spirit. And I'm also praying mysteries. Everyone say mysteries.
Mysteries.
Now, what does that mean? Somebody say, well, why in the world would I want to pray a mystery? Go back to my example. To my mind, it was a mystery what was wrong with that young girl in pre-marriage counseling. But I used tongues and the other gifts of the Spirit to go from the unknown to the known. In business, there are a lot of things that you'll face that you don't know what to do. And if you'll use this in your business, God will take you from the unknown to the known. So the mystery that you are praying about suddenly manifests in your soul. And here's what Jesus is after. God wants the things of the Spirit to get up into your soul. What is your soul? Your mind. Put your hands up like this quickly. Everybody say, my spirit,
my spirit,
my mind,
my
spirit,
my mind.
Now lace your fingers together. God wants to do that. He wants to take the spirit part of you and integrate it in your mind so that you're one person. Adam and Eve, before they fell, they didn't have to stop and go, man, I need to think about God today. Before they fell, they had a soul that was totally harmonized with spirit. Spirit was in the soul. They were a spirit-driven person, and they lived and moved in God. When they fell, their spirit and their soul were pulled apart because the spirit died unto God. The soul became darkened, and the redemption process, watch this, is life has now come into your spirit. You're a new creation, and you are now to renew your mind, and part of the speaking gift's ability is to bring your mind into harmony with what God wants. Whew, I tell you what, I get excited just talking about it. Now, verse 3. Let's talk about prophecy. See, he's kind of working through the speaking gifts here. And he gives more attention to those. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. I want you to mark those three things. When somebody prophesies to you, the result should be edification. What does that mean? It means it builds you up. Exhortation, it encourages you, and comfort. Now beware of people that want to put heavy-duty condemnation on you. I actually saw a handbill one time that said, come to such and such a meeting, and Prophet Billy Bob is going to lay hands on you. He has a ministry of condemnation. That was on his flyer. I thought, hello. I can't believe anybody showed up. If they showed up, they deserve to get it. Okay, sit down and put the condemnation on me. I'm feeling too good today. Verse 4, he that speaketh... Verse 3, he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. All right, verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, circle this, edifies himself. Now you see, people have picked on that. Well, see you there, you're edifying yourself. What is wrong with that? I want to be encouraged, I want to be edified, and I want to be built up. So one of the results of tongues, now get this is tongues apart from interpretation. One of the benefits of me just driving around in my automobile throughout the day, singing in the tongue, singing in the Spirit, speaking, praying in the Spirit, is that not only am I communing with God, we saw that in verse 2, not only am I speaking mysteries, there is a spiritual edification that's taking place in my life. It's like a battery that's being charged. What do they do with a battery that's gone dead? They put it on a charger. And so your spiritual life is being charged up. How many of you ever felt down? I'll cast the lying devil out of the rest of you. How many of you ever felt down? One of the best things you can do is pray in the Spirit during those times. But my flesh doesn't feel like it. Well, your flesh is never going to feel like serving God. If you wait until your flesh feels like it, you won't even get saved. Verse 4. But he that prophesies edifies the church. Verse 5. I would that you all spake with tongues. Now the King James says, but rather, and that's unfortunate, the better translation is, especially that you would prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Now listen to this. He's saying this. If I come into a church service, I need to speak in an intelligible language, or I need to pray or speak in tongues with an interpretation. I don't need to waste your time and my time standing up here for an hour praying or speaking in tongues and then say, be sure to get the tape on your way out. And so now he's starting to talk about public ministry more and more, and he's saying, I want you to write this down, the real goal of these, there is a benefit for you, but the real goal of the gifts is to benefit others. To benefit others. Now, go to verse 13. I need to hop over for the sake of time. Verse 13 says, wherefore let him that speaketh in a tongue do what? Are you with me? Verse 13. Wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may what? Now, we don't hear a lot of teaching about this, and I'm just going to touch on it, but Oral Roberts was big on this. If you pray in the Spirit, and I imagine many of you already do, if you pray in the Spirit, you need to be asking God regularly for interpretation. Notice the Bible does not use the word translation. It's interpretation. Translation is a word-for-word, grammatically correct rendition. Interpretation is a paraphrase. So when I pray in the Spirit and I ask God for the interpretation, that means that God is going to illumine my mind as to what I was speaking about, and He will begin to show me. I could say it in several ways, but the meaning would come out. Now, I'll tell you how this first happened in my life. I was driving down the road in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I used to hear Oral Roberts teach about interpretation. I was baptized in the Spirit. I spoke in tongues, but I knew nothing about interpretation. And so I'm driving down the road, and I'm singing. I'm just having a big time with God. And all of a sudden, out of my mouth, how many of you know that if you hang around something long enough, you'll pick it up? If you hang around Oral teaching on interpretation enough, you'll pick it up. I'm just having a big time. All of a sudden, out of my mouth came these words. Pull over your left front tire's about to blow up. I'm telling you the truth. I said, what was that? I just went back to tongues. And all of a sudden it came again. I said, pull over your left front tire's about to blow out, and I mean it this time. It occurred to me, could this be God? Now, usually you hear a thump, thump, thump or something like that. I pulled over. I tell you the honest truth. I get out of my car. I thought, well, we could just at least check this out. I pulled out. There was a piece of rubber that big hanging off my left front tire. Now, folks, I cannot tell you how that totally altered Jason Peebles' life. What did that mean? Now, don't laugh, okay, when I say this. It meant to me that God knows far more than I do. There's no way in the natural I could have known that. The Spirit is singing through me, speaking through me. Suddenly an interpretation comes. Revelation knowledge comes. What would have happened? I don't know. But I went very slowly to the gas station and got a new tire. And the whole way I was going, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know more than I do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know more than I do. Okay, we're through. Verse 14 and 15, and we're through. Please mark verses 14 and 15. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my what praise? Please mark that. When you pray in tongues, it's not your mind. It's not just emotions. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. In other words, my mind doesn't know what I'm saying. And that hangs up a lot of people. They want to record their tongue. They play it backwards and see if there's any backward masking. You know, that's foolishness. Your mind does not know what the spirit language is saying unless you get the interpretation. Now, here's verse 15. What is it then? I will. Everybody say, I will.
I will.
Everybody say, I will.
I will.
I will.
I will.
I will.
I will.
I had to say it four times because I want you to count it in that one verse. Four times he says, I will, or some of yours may say, I shall. I will, I will, I will, I will. Never does he say, when I feel led. Never does he say, when I feel spiritual. He says, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and he's referring to tongues, and I will sing with the understanding also. Now, how many of you want to move into this realm? Where you have a release of your prayer language, but you also are pressing in more. Everybody say more.
More.
Where you're saying, look at verse 13 again. You're also asking the Lord to help you learn to interpret. You're going to learn to prophesy and go back to your notes. The speaking gifts are going to help you get over to the revelation gifts. And the revelation gifts are going to jump you over to the power gifts. And lo and behold, here you are, slowly but surely, you are moving out in the things of the Spirit. And you're growing.
Amen.
You're growing. And you're increasing. And you're doing it with love. You're doing it with character and integrity. Amen. Fold up your Bibles. I want the worship team to quickly come. I want you to stand to your feet at attention. This is a very important time of our service. I'd like to go back to the last song that we sang. That worship song right at the end. And I'd like us to lift our voices to God. And I'd like us to tune in. Because tonight some of you have never... released. Remember, release. The whole idea of release. You're a Christian. You're saved. You have the Spirit. But you've never released your prayer language. Tonight is your night. Others, you've had a release, but you want to increase in the things of the Spirit. God's going to meet us. Let's put the words up on the overhead. Somebody pull the overhead out and let's put the words up and go to that last song and sing it. Lord, I hunger for Your presence. Doesn't that say it? Isn't that what we're after? Lord, I hunger for Your presence. Let's lift our voices and sing to Him. Thank You, Jesus. Yes. 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 Oh, sing it to the Lord. Lift your voice. Yes. In the secret place. Lord, I hunger for Your presence. Are you hungry tonight?
Lord, I long to see Your face.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord, I boldly stand before Your throne of mercy, love, and
listen to me as we sing through this. I want to open up this altar for those of you who would like for me to pray with you to appropriate and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the release of the Spirit in your life, where you pray in the Spirit and you press. You've either never received that or you would like a greater release of your prayer language. Either area, I want you to come forward and gather here as a group. And we'll pray as a group and God's going to meet you as a group. God's going to manifest His Spirit in you. Let's sing it again as they come. Thank you, Jesus. Put it back up on the screen and let's sing it. Quickly, I'm talking to adults. I'm talking to young people. You've never had that release or you want a greater release. Martha, I want you to come and help me.
Mercy, love.
And there's others that need to get up here. Don't hold back. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Quickly, get up here. You'd like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and have a greater dimension of your prayer language. Yes, Lord. Quickly come. There's others that need to come.
Praise the Lord Most High.
Father, I thank You for those who've responded. I want to just wait just another moment. I believe that there are some husbands and wives that need to catch a hand and get up here together. And the Lord's going to bring a new dimension in your relationship by the Spirit. If one of you or both of you do not yet pray in the Spirit or you're not comfortable with that yet, come up here and allow Jesus Christ to touch you this night. Quickly slip up as we wait just a moment. Anybody else? Anybody else? I tell you, the Lord is in this place. He's going to pour His Spirit out, cause His Spirit to manifest. You know, the Spirit of God can come like a cloud. The Spirit's in us. He comes out. The Spirit is with, in, upon. He's all around us. Amen. Now look at me. I want to give you some instruction. You guys are going to have it easy. When I came up in this, they would do you one at a time in a chair in front of everybody. And, you know, I couldn't have prayed the Lord's Prayer in English, much less had a release in my prayer language. And they meant well, you know, but they would get you up there, and I was so nervous. And after they prayed for me, I didn't have any words come out. I was just intimidated and embarrassed. So that night, I went to a place by myself, and they had told me to do that, and I'm glad they did, where nobody was around, nobody was pressing on me. I wasn't on the spot, so to speak. I said, Lord, I don't know all about this, but here goes. And I opened my mouth, and I began to pray slowly at first, but new syllables, new sounds, words from heaven, words from the Spirit began to come out of my mouth. And you know, my ears were listening. It was almost like I was listening to someone else saying it, but it was me saying it by the Spirit. Now what we're going to do is I'm going to pray for you as a group. And I'm going to ask Martha to help me. And Janie, I'd like you to come up here. This Pastor John, he's back here. Bill, come up. And just position ourselves here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to lead you as a group in a group prayer. And basically, here's what you're going to be saying. And folks, I want you to help me, those of you that have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Basically, you're going to be saying this. We're going to pray this together. You're going to say, Lord, I thank You that You're my Savior because You're saved. I want to cover that just in case there's somebody that this is the first time they're saved. And you say, I believe in Jesus. And now I ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I yield myself to a release of God's Spirit. And at the end of this prayer, I'm going to say, let's begin to sing now. And when I say that, I'm going to lift my voice. I want to invite everyone in this room to lift your voice, not in English, but I want you to lift your voice and let that new language flow out. You say, what if it's not there? It'll be there. Now, we may lay hands on you and touch you. I don't want anyone to be louder than anyone else. I want us to do it in unison and sing. We're going to sing for a while, and then I'm going to say stop. We'll give you a little more instruction. And I want you to understand, this is not something you got to work up. This is something that you can yield to every day. You guys on the campus, walking across the campus, or in your home, or at the office, or wherever you may be, taking care of the children, you can learn to sing in the Spirit throughout the day, and it'll open up a whole new dimension for your life. Yes. Amen? Pretty simple. All right, lift your hands to God all across the auditorium. And let's all say this together in the whole auditorium. Everybody say this out loud. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus Christ. Jesus is Lord and Savior. I place my trust in Jesus Christ. And now I ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'll yield myself to the release of the Spirit with the evidence of tongues. I desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I receive them now. I release them now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, lift your voices and let's begin to sing. Let the syllables and the sounds come out. Don't analyze it. Get your mind out of the way and begin to sing in a new song. That's it. You got it. Let it out. Let it out. I thank you for the anointing, Lord God. That's it. There it is, right there. Let it out. Let it out. You got it. Don't analyze it. Let it out. Let the syllables and the sounds out. They're right on the tip of your tongue. Let them out. Verbalize them. Open your mouth and let it out. And they spake in tongues as the Holy Spirit. They spake as the Holy Spirit gave the utterance. It's right there. Let it out. Let the new sounds and the syllables out. Let the new sounds and the syllables out. Hallelujah. You got joy on you too. Amen. Let it out. Let it out. All right. Let's stop. Let's pause. I know that seems a little artificial, but I wish somebody had taken time with me. I don't believe in hurrying people up, hurrying them back to their seats. I want to read you a verse. Listen to me. Your heart's beating 90 miles an hour. Some of you are saying, it was there. Some of you are saying, I'm not sure it was there. It was kind of there. I'm not sure. Listen to this passage. This is Luke 11:11. Everybody say 11:11. This is easy to remember, folks. 11:11. Listen to what Jesus said. How many of you believe Jesus? He said, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, would you give him a stone? Or mothers. If your child came up and said, I want some bread, would you give that person, say, here, go eat a brick? If he asked for a fish, would he give him a snake?
No.
Or if he asked for an egg, would he offer him a scorpion? Now listen to what Jesus says. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Everybody say, how much more?
How much more?
How much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Now let me cure something for you. Shortly after, I didn't have this teaching. Shortly after I had the prayer language released in my life, somebody came up and said, how do you know that you're not talking to the devil? Boy, I tell you what, that threw me for a loop. I thought, well, I don't. Until I found this passage. How much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Will your Heavenly Father give you a brick? We didn't ask the devil tonight. Will He give you a snake? Will He give you a counterfeit? You can know assuredly that because you've asked the Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus, you've got the real thing.
Yes.
So get your mind out of the way for a moment and let the language flow. You've got the real thing. Everybody say, I've got the real thing.
I've got the real thing.
Lift your hands to God. And I want us to worship in the Spirit again. Lift your voice right now. Lift your voice. Let the first syllable sound come out. Open your mouth and begin to put voice to it. There it is. That's it, brother. You got it. All right, let's just speak a little bit. Let's don't sing. The Bible says that I can speak and pray in the Spirit. Let's softly now just pray in the Spirit. Se che faria sanda, coscione baria sanda. Father, I thank you for what you've done tonight. Listen to me. I thank you for what you've done. I thank you that this little beginning is going to grow and open a whole new dimension for our brothers and our sisters. In Jesus' name. Now look at me. I want to tell you one more thing, then I'm sending you back to your seat. Look at me, everybody. I'm going to tell you what they told me. I want you to go get by yourself tonight. You go home, you get ready for bed, say goodnight to your mom, your dad, your friends. I want you to get by yourself. And I want you to make a commitment that between you and Jesus, when nobody else is around, no pressure, nobody's looking around, I want you to open your mouth and worship Him in the Spirit. Will you do that?
Yes.
And let it flow. And then tomorrow, when you wake up, well, I wonder if I still have it. You still have it. Open your mouth and exercise it and let it come out. I am telling you, a whole new dimension in your life will open up. If you'll make that commitment to do that before you go to sleep tonight, raise your hand to get off by yourself.
Yes.
Amen. Let's give Jesus a great big hand clap. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. The baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Can we sing that again? Let's sing this song again as you go back to your seat. Let's worship the Lord.